Welcome to the College Commons Podcast, passionate perspectives from Judaism's leading thinkers, brought to you by HUC Connect, the Hebrew Union College's online platform for continuing education. I'm Joshua Holo, your host. Welcome to this episode of the College Commons Podcast and our conversation with Yael Yechieli. Yael Yechieli is the founder of 5050, which is an initiative of the Tzedek Center dedicated to a simple and very potent mission to get women into half of all the decision-making positions in Israel. It even tracks the progress of women's soccer, an important bellwether of social and economic power, not unlike women's soccer and basketball here in the U.S. 5050 organizes public outreach, lectures, and all important social and political campaigns to position women to take their place in Israel's public sphere. Yael Yechieli, congratulations on 5050's accomplishments thus far, and thank you for joining us on the College Commons Podcast.
Thank you so much, and I'm happy to be here.
Before we talk about 5050, and we will, I want to ask you a broad cultural question. You may be aware of the fact that among American Jews, and as far as I'm aware, diaspora Jews in general, we cherish the image, which is often a literal photograph, of the woman Israeli soldier. It represents many things to us, including the idea of gender equality. And in some ways, it stands in for our idea of Israel as a thriving liberal democracy altogether. It's a source of great pride among men and women alike. Does that image risk tokenizing women or oversimplifying the diaspora understanding of gender in Israel's political culture?
That's a really good question. I think Israel has, like other places, a few stories. It's not only one story. And one of the stories of Israel is liberal, progressive, and a place with the gender equity. And when Israel was founded, I think it was one of the first armies in the world that women were there from the beginning. And that's because the roots of our state is social democrat people who came here. And they had a vision about what Israel will be. And part of the vision was men and women collaborate together, building this state. It was never an equal place. It's a good picture, but it's not the only picture. But there's another story of Israel as a Jewish state. And in a way, a Jewish state in Israel is an Orthodox. In Israel, we have you are being Orthodox or ultra-Orthodox, or that you are secular. But if you are secular, you don't go to synagogue maybe once in a year, and this also you don't go in Yom Kippur. So this is one of the very big differences between Israel and diaspora. And I think that's a good question. Where are we going to? Is it going to continue to be a Jewish democratic state, or is it going to be more Jewish and less democratic? And then we won't see here gender equality, and also we won't see here other things. And this is the point, as I see it, we are in now.
It's worth noting that in the diaspora, we don't see why it couldn't be both Jewish and democratic. But in Israel, the dynamics are complicated and very different.
Now, I think also in Israel, we understand it is a Jewish democratic state. But the question is, what does it mean being Jewish? In the diaspora, being Jewish has several options how to be Jewish. And also in Israel, but in Israel, being religious is always being Orthodox or ultra-Orthodox. There are few reforms and few conservative, but that's not the major, unfortunately.
We're working on it at the Hebrew Union College. Okay, so now, if you would, give us a thumbnail summary of 5050.
The vision of 5050 is very easy. 50% women in all political stages in all decision-making tables. I always say you can close your eyes and imagine all the tables making decisions about Israel will be 50% men and 50% women. And this is the vision and the understanding that if we will have 50-50, the decisions will be better. It's not only about the number. It's that the different decisions when only men make them and when men and women make them together. This is the vision. I started working on it when we were in the States. My partner was a professor in Berkeley and we had like 3 years there. And I saw how Berkeley works when men and women are together in the city council. And I started learning about it. And one day, one of my neighbors, she was a Mexican, told me, do you know that Mexico got today to 50% women in the parliament? And I was like, what? Mexico? How come Mexico got to 50% women in the parliament? And I started making a research, understanding how states got to a place that they have 50% women in the parliament. And I realized if you have a good plan, it can happen because there's no place it happened by itself. And this I can say about equity. It's never by itself. You have to do actions. And when you do the actions, it can happen. So when we came back to Israel in 2021, I decided that I'm opening the initiative and I'm trying to work with the vision of 50% women in all political stages in Israel. One of the people who inspired me was Ruth Bader Ginsburg when she said, women belong in all places where decisions are being made. And this quote for me was like, okay, this is the mission, that women will be in the places where decisions are being made. Men and women together will make good decisions for the states, for the public, for all of us.
So it's a very young organization, as you just described. Tell us to date, what has been your greatest breakthrough and what has been your most stubborn challenge?
So I'll start with the challenge. The biggest challenge is the next elections, and we'll talk about it. But I'll say what we already have succeeded. In Israel, the municipal elections is 1 in 5 years. But the elections for the government, we never know when it will be. It's not like the United States that you know that every 4 years. Only in the municipal councils, we know that it's in every 5 years. So we had municipal elections in 2024. This is also different between the states in Israel. In Israel, we don't vote for candidates. We vote for a party, and the party is a list of people. And we never have only two, we have lots of them. Okay, so I live in Jerusalem and I have an option for 8 parties that I can vote for them. And also I can vote for my mayor. But what I did in 50-50 is looking only on the municipal councils and not about the mayor. And I wanted all the lists to be, we call it in Hebrew, richach. Richach is a zipper list. It means if number one is a man, number two needs to be a woman, and number three, a man, and number four is a woman. Because what I realized is that we had lots of women running for the elections, but they were in the lower places. So it was not realistic that they'll get in.
Allow me just to explain to our listeners that the way it works is the more votes a party gets, the greater number of representatives that party brings to the position in question or the council in question. So the people at the top of the list are more likely to sit at the table than the people further down the list.
That's right. And I realized that most of the parties are parties that men are on the top and women were on the bottom. So it means that they will never get in. So the strategy was very easy. As I said, I live in Jerusalem. I went to a meeting with the mayor, Moshe Leon, and I raised my hand and asked, would you have 50% women in your list? And if the list will be a zipper list? And he said, I don't know yet. We didn't decide. Okay. The day after, he went to another meeting in another neighborhood. I called my friend, told her, go and ask the mayor if he's going to have 50% women in his party and if it's going to be a zipper list. And he said, I don't know. And the day after, he went to another place and another friend of mine got. So for 1 month, he heard this question everywhere he went. And after 1 month, he said, okay, I want to say something. I'm going to have 50% women in my list and it will be in a zipper list. You don't have to ask anymore. Okay. And in that way, we did in 60 cities in Israel, the same strategy, going to a meeting with the head of the parties, because the head of this party decides who is in his party and on what place in his party. And we did the same thing. And this was a very big success. For the first time in Israel, we had hundreds of parties that were zipper parties. And that's why we got tons of women that got in to the municipal council. Because if you are number two, you'll get in. But if you are number seven, you won't get in.
Great strategy. It's very simple. It's very effective.
The public has strength. And the public needs to use it.
So tell us about the challenge of the upcoming elections.
We have a system of, again, parties. And in every party, there is a other system how they choose in their party. For example, in the Democrats, they have primaries, like people who are part of the party. They choose who will be in what stage. But Bennett, for example, for me, like he's the person who needs to decide. And there's only 120 places in the Knesset. It's a very small Knesset. So if one is going in, someone needs to go out. There's not enough place for everyone. So if I insist of having 50% women in his list, so I'm asking him, please, part of the men, they need to step back. That's a very, very big challenge. And what we do in the last few months, exactly what we did in the municipal elections, we go to the meetings with all the heads of the parties and all the politicians. And we do the same thing. Ask, would you have 50% women in your party? And we do it for left to right, center, Arabs, Jews, ultra-Orthodox, okay? We want to have 50% women in all parties. I want that also the parties that I'm not going to vote for, that they will have also 50% women. Because only if all the parties will have 50% women, we'll get to a 50-50 in the parliament. I always say that 50-50 is a political initiative, but it doesn't have a position about what party you should vote.
It's nonpartisan.
Okay. That's right.
The College Commons podcast belongs to HUC Connect, the online platform for continuing education from the Hebrew Union College. HUC Connect includes webinars, syllabi for community learning, and masterclasses for HUC alumni, with interviews, expert panels, and classroom materials on topics ranging from the arts to civil society, Israel, and much more. Check us out at huc.edu/HUC Connect. Now, back to our interview.
So you founded 50-50 only a year or so before October 7th. How did October 7th shape your programs and your strategies on the one hand, and how did it affect the receptivity to your message on the other?
You have a good question. The municipal elections were supposed to be 31 of October 2023. So we were in the middle of the biggest campaigns before the municipal elections. And then we had October 7th. And we woke up in the morning, and by the hours that passed, we understood that our country is not the same country. Like something very big happened here. And I can say personally that I stopped dealing with 50-50. And actually, I founded with another two friends of mine, Rachel Azaria and Rachel Ishurati, the anchor for the reserved families. This we did in October 7th. And it was in a feminist understanding that people in Israel are going to help the army, okay, or to miluim, yeah, reserve. But we need to think about the families. Usually the dad is going out and then the mom is staying at home alone in a big war, dealing with pressure of war and also the absence of her partner. And this is what I did October 7th. After we finished to build the anchor for the reserved families, and also they told us when is going to be the municipal elections, I said, like, Rachel Azaria stayed to work with the anchor, and I went back to 50-50. But I do want to say, we couldn't continue the same, because things were changed here dramatically. And when we came back to do 50-50, it was 2 months after October 7th, we started asking the people, do you think it would have been different if there will be 50% women in the parliament? I'm happy to say that what happened is that more and more people understood that 50-50 can be one of the answers to October 7th and the war that were after October 7th. And we saw women were in front of the struggle for bringing back the hostages. We saw it in the streets after October 7th. We saw that the thought about 50-50 raised, okay? People understood that it can be the way of helping Israel to go out from the very big mess we are in. So we had the biggest tragic day, October 7th. It changed Israel in lots of ways, but it also changed the understanding that we need to have a different political situation and we should have 50% women in the political stages.
Who are 50-50's organizational partners, allies, and collaborators?
So organizations, we work with everyone. I have a colleague, her name is Alsana. She's doing 50-50 in the Arab society, okay? Because we do want to have 50% women also in the Arab parties. And I have also ultra-Orthodox women that wants to have 50%. And I have, again, also from right and left, like I collaborate with whoever say yes to the vision of 50% women. I don't say no to anyone.
As you know, American Jews are divided on Israel to the greatest degree in living memory. I would like to ask you to speak to both sides of that divide. On the one hand, what do American Jews who are skeptical of or angry at Israel today, what do they need to know? And on the other hand, what do American Jews who resist any critique of Israel today, what do they need to know?
People who are angry about Israel, I can understand them, and I can say, be angry about our government. We are not our government. The people, the state, it's not the government. I'm also angry about my government. I do everything to make the change. But again, I think people who are not Zionist, that think that Israel shouldn't exist, I have nothing to say, okay? Because I think Israel should exist, and that's why I live here. So I'm here, I love the states, and I want to stay here. And I'm going to fight for Israel to stay a democratic and a liberal place, and also a Jewish, but in American view of what is Jewish, not ultra-Orthodox Jewish. So for people who are angry, I'm saying just join us, help us. Help us fight for Israel to be more democratic and to be a good place for Jews in the world. Like, this is home. It should be a home for all Jews in the world. People who think that Jews that don't live here doesn't have the option to criticize Israel. I think it's a mistake. Because Israel, we see ourselves as a place for all Jews. So all Jews from all over, okay, this is what I say also to Israelis that left Israel and don't live in Israel. I'm telling them, come back and vote, okay, just for the elections and help us. Okay, so I think people from diaspora have the privilege to criticize Israel. I just want them to join us in order to fight for a better Israel.
I'd like to ask you in closing to tell us the story of the greatest surprise that you've experienced in 50/50.
Okay, so this is a very nice story. In Israel, every Yom HaTzmaut, Independence Day, there is a prize called the Israel Prize. That is the highest prize in Israel. And in 2024, we had Independence Day that was a very, very sad Independence Day because we had lots of hostages still in Gaza. But we did have this Israeli prize. And 14 people got the prize, and only one woman was there. And I was so angry. How can it be that only one woman gets this highest prize in Israel in the Independence Day? And I was very angry about it, and I decided that next year it has to be 50-50. I did a research how people are nominated to the Israeli prize. And I realized that everyone can nominate someone if he has the right criteria. So it means that I can nominate someone. And we wrote emails to all universities saying, tell us who are the best women professors. We want to nominate the best women to get the Israeli prize. And we did a very big campaign of public pressure on the education minister saying, this year, you have to give 50% women the Israeli prize. And we got to the Independence Day of 2025, and on the stage were 50% women for the first time in Israel. And the education minister was standing there and said, we did history. For the first time in Israel, in the Israeli prize, there are 50% women on the stage, and I give them my blessing. And the same thing we did this year, we nominated lots of women for the Israel Prize of 2026. So this year on the stage were 50% women. So that's what we are going to do every year now. Every year we are going to nominate lots of women. So hopefully we'll see 50% women on the stage in the Israeli Prize.
Yael Yechieli, thank you so much for the conversation. Congratulations again. And thank you for the lesson on civics and grassroots power. It was a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the College Commons Podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcasts. And check out HUC Connect, compelling conversations at the forefront of Jewish learning. For more information about all that HUC Connect has to offer, visit huc.edu/HUC Connect.